This audio is produced and distributed by the Christian Biblical Church of God, Post Office Box 1442, Hollister, California, 95024-1442. For the Canadian office and offices overseas, listen at the end of the message, please. To visit our websites, they are cbcg.org and biblicaltruthministries.org. And greetings, brethren. We're going to again take a look at some prophecies. And we're going to see that today's sermon is perhaps the most important information that we are going to receive in a long time. Let's first of all go to Revelation 17 and let's look at some scriptures and prophecies, and let's understand it the way that it was understood when the Reformation was being formed. And the thing that is important is this, is that in every age there is some truth in the interpretation of prophecy for that age. Now, in Revelation 17, let's begin here in verse 1. And one of the seven angels who had the seven vials spoke with me, saying, "Come here." I'm reading from the New Translation. "And I will show you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters," which then down in verse 15 says, "The waters that you saw where the whore sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages." Now back to verse 2. "With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Then he carried me away in the spirit to the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast that had seven heads and ten horns and full of names of blasphemy. And the woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and was adorned with gold and pearls and precious stones. And she had in her hand a golden cup, filled with abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And across her name was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And after seeing her, I wondered with great amazement." Well, the Reformers properly interpreted this as the Roman Catholic Church, seeing what it said, and going by the principle, you shall know them by their fruits. And so they properly labeled this as the Church of the Antichrist, and the Pope as Antichrist, which is absolutely true, was true then, is true now. However, they didn't equate the daughters, because she's the mother of harlots, did not equate the daughters with the rest of the religions of the world. And so today, when we look at it, when we see Mystery Babylon the Great, we see a greater fulfillment of that, a greater description of it. And we're going to see it fulfilled in a greater way. Now, it's interesting that the system here in Revelation 17, the woman is riding the beast. And in riding the beast, that fulfills and properly shows what the Roman Catholic Church did for 1,000 years. They ruled with temporal power over all the kingdoms of Europe and every kingdom that they could rule over. So it's proper that the woman was riding the beast. Now, however, when we come to Revelation 13, which is at the time of the end, and here we find that the roles are reversed. Now let's begin in verse 1. "And I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns." So it's the same system now being regenerated in a different way. "And on its horns ten crowns, and on his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which you saw was like a leopard, and its feet like the feet of a bear, its mouth like the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave its power and his throne and his great authority." And I saw one of its heads, as it were, wounded to death, and its deadly wound was healed, and the whole earth was amazed and followed the beast. And they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war against him? Now, this is quite a thing. We have today the Harry Potter age, which is very important, and the Lord of the Ring age, where that everything now is moving toward an occult society, and occultism worships Satan. Years ago, paganism, if you said to someone, well, look, what you're doing is pagan, they would say, oh, I don't want to do that. Today, if you say it's pagan, they say, hey, that's cool. See? And they want to do it. And they want to find out more about it. So now with a generation of young people who are going to be spoon-fed with Harry Potter, after all the cartoons and Disneyland and everything that they've been nurtured on up to that point, which is holy witchcraft indeed, we are going to have a generation that will worship Satan the devil. Now let's continue on and see about this beast power. And let's see what happens. And he opens his mouth in speaking great things, and blasphemies was given to him, and authority was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those that dwell in heaven. And it was given power to make war against the saints. So this is going to come at the end. And overcome them, and it was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. Now that's coming. We already now have the institution of the International Criminal Court. We are going to see that in order to solve the problems of the world, the UN is going to be given greater and greater power. And that's going to fulfill what this is. And out of that system then will come the man of sin, the son of perdition, as we find in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. And he will go into the temple of God, and he will say that he is God, and he will be worshipped as God. Now, verse 8. All who dwell on the earth shall worship it, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Now, the ones who have the Holy Spirit then will be the only ones who will understand the times and what is happening. Now, we'll see that in a minute, because we have reached a point in prophecy which we can say is the beginning of the end. Now, verse 9, if any man has an ear, let him hear. If anyone gathers into captivity, he shall go into captivity. If anyone kills with a sword, he must be killed with a sword. And here is the endurance and the patience of the saints. That is, they do neither one of those. Now, verse 11 is a key. So let's read this and let's understand how they understood it at the time of the Reformation and how they understood it in the time when Sabbath keepers began to be prominent, and how it was even understood up through the Church of God Seventh Day and into the Radio Church of God and into the beginnings of the Worldwide Church of God. Because there are certain things that when you read it, if you have absolutely no knowledge or not even a hint of the coming technology that we know today, there is no way you can truly understand it. And so when people would ask questions about it, they would come up with an interpretation of it. However, the interpretation, though it did have a semblance or ring of truth to it, it was not really a correct interpretation. Now let's begin with verse 11. And I saw another beast rising out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. Now the two horns, I think we can safely say after seeing the world scene today, that there are two individuals who are called Your Holiness. One is the Pope and one is the Dalai Lama, And they are the ones who will work together and bring the religions of the world together. Now, they didn't know that back then. And it exercises all the authority of the first beast before it, and it causes the earth and those that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So this second beast then endorses the first beast as God. Now, they didn't understand it then. And when they come down here to what the mark of the beast is, they had a different interpretation for it. Now, we'll read on and we'll see what that is. And it performs great wonders so that it even causes fire to come down to the earth from heaven in the sight of men. And that'll be real fire. And it will be a real bona fide miracle designed to deceive. And as Jesus said, that they could deceive even the elect. And it deceives those who dwell on the earth by the means of the wonders that were given to it to perform in the sight of the beast, saying to those who dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast or for the beast, which had the wound by the sword and yet was alive. Now, if you don't have the tape, the hour of temptation coming on all the earth, be sure and write for it, because I go through and explain that very thoroughly, which explains verse 14 in greater detail. And it was given power to give life to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast could also speak, and it causes everyone who will not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And it causes all, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark upon their right hands and in their foreheads, so that no one may have the ability to buy and sell unless he has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, here's how they explained it, because it was true that the Catholic Church went against all of those who rebelled. And the Catholic Church did kill a lot of Christians. And also, when it came time for Sabbath keepers to interpret this, here's how they interpreted it. They said that, since the sign of God is his Sabbath, therefore, this mark has got to be the sign of the Roman Catholic system being Sunday with all of its holidays. So therefore, that's how they interpreted, but that's not correct. Because if you don't buy and sell on the Sabbath because you keep the Sabbath, and if the world closes everything down on Sunday, you can't buy and sell on Sunday, can you? But you can buy and sell on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. So that could not possibly be the correct interpretation. And this could not be understood until this time in which we are living now. Now, I've given many, many sermons on the mark of the beast and what's going to happen and how it's going to come and the things that will take place. And now we will see that the time is here. You remember the story of Paul Revere. What is it? One by land, two by sea, or is it two by sea, one by land, and then he went on his horse and he said, the British are coming, the British are coming, the British are coming. Well, we've said for years, the mark of the beast is coming, the mark of the beast is coming, the mark of the beast is coming. And now, it is here. Now, when I did the sermon, where are we in prophecy? I read something about a family in Florida that's going to have the implant of this, what you have in your hands, if you look at the printout. Here it is. Okay? You have right there a blown-up picture of what the VeriChip will look like, which is the size of a grain of rice. Now, let's read something here. Before we do, I would just want to mention one thing. That during the Reagan administration, they wanted to have a national identity card. And someone in the council meeting, wherever it was, he said, well, let's tattoo everyone And Ronald Reagan said, that's the mark of the beast. So that ended any national identity card. Now with 9/11, everything has changed, and the psychology of the people has changed, and the attitude of the public has changed, except those who really study their Bibles. So let's begin reading here. Big Brother gets under your skin with microchip. The first microchip will be implanted in U.S. citizens. Where will it lead? Verichip, a hotly debated implantable microchip, is currently being reviewed by the Food and Drug Administration for use in humans as an implanted ID that would store medical and security information. Circle the word security. It is initially touted as a means of quickly providing critical medical information, especially in cases where the patient is unable to communicate. But civil libertarians have expressed concern that eventually such chips could contain all of an individual's private information where it could be abused in Big Brother fashion. But of course, that'll never happen. And, of course, you know, the income tax, you know, it was only going to be 1%, and it would never rise more than that, see, until they connived a war to raise it. Applied Digital Solutions, oh, and by the way, we still have it, don't we? And much more than during wartime, don't we? Yes. Applied Digital Solutions, ADS, on February 7th, announced the formation of Verichip Corporation as a new subsidiary. Now, why would they start a new corporation? Well, in case of lawsuits, then, Applied Digital Solutions can still continue to function. That's why. On December 19, 2001, ADS announced the Verichip, an implantable device about the size of a grain of rice that could be used to store information about the person who carries the implant. Now, I might mention as we're going along here that this, it says right there on the byline at the top, just above the author's name, it says exclusive to American Free Press. Well, American Free Press was a successor to the Spotlight magazine. Now, the Spotlight magazine was exposing the Bilderbergers, the Trilateralists, and the Federal Reserve and all their hanky-panky. So it conveniently burned down. So now they resurrected it with American Free Press. So I just thought I would mention that. So let's continue on here in the article. Miniaturized implantable identification technology with multiple medical, security, and emergency applications is the motto of Verichip Corporation. The Verichip stores 6 lines of text. It emits 125 kilohertz radio signal, which comes right from the body. It needs no battery. And this signal can be picked up by a special scanner up to 4 feet away, whereby the stored information can be downloaded into a monitoring device. ADS, the Verichip plan, and Verichip plan to market the chip in the United States as a medical device that would allow hospital workers to download medical information immediately when they are handling implanted patients. Now, you see, everything starts out with good. Verichip initially stated that the chip would be marketed solely as a voluntary implant for medical purposes, but recently has asked the government for permission to market the chip to be used for ID purposes in airports, nuclear plants, and other high-security facilities, reported CBN News. So it's already expanding, you see. And just wait and see. We have another terrorist attack, and they will begin accepting this as security devices, as security identification in these high-risk places. Verichip is not the first of its kind. In 2000, ADS quietly introduced the angel technology, and I gave a sermon on that when that came out, the precursor of the VeriChip. Angel technology was an implantable chip, much like VeriChip, that could be used to track humans by global positioning satellite. So this tells you what they're going to do. Angel technology was proposed in a two-step fashion. First, as an external wristwatch receiver, and then as an implant. Angel's marketing also focused on its potential medical uses for use on people with Alzheimer's and other mind-impairing diseases, but at that time there was little public support for such a device. Now let's continue on with the article. CEO Richard Sullivan. Very interesting name. That's an Irish name, isn't it? I wonder if he's an Irish Catholic. He remarked, "With the recent tragedy, September 11th, it is our duty to expedite the development process and offer Digital Angel in its current beta form." Now, what is beta form? Well, their first development is alpha form. Beta form is one which is increased and miniaturized so it can have more information. Now, then the next one will be their alpha, beta, gamma. It will be their gamma form. And then their fourth one will be the delta form. And that's interesting because delta is a triangle in the Greek language. To use it, the current beta form to the rescue efforts of all agencies connected with national and personal safety and security. You see what that is doing? This means the FBI, the police, sheriff department, fire departments, all of that would be brought into it. Digital Angel has many applications that can be used during this national tragedy. Since the chip has been announced, it has sparked a great deal of debate in media, provoking headlines like "VeriChip likely to face privacy issue debate," but of course, "company wants to get under your skin with ID," and "a microchip makes its mark, VeriChip and the Beast." Now you see, what the VeriChip Corporation and Applied Digital did when this first came out, they sent their representatives to the 700 Club and told Pat Robertson, "Well now, this is not the mark of the beast, because the mark of the beast says it's on your right hand or on your forehead, and this is in. So this couldn't be it." See. Now you see, the reason why the second beast, being the religious beast, must okay this is because there are billions of Bibles out there, and people can read them, and people can read and understand what it says. And so, if they say, this is okay, this is not the mark of the beast, this is for security, this is for identification, and besides, you won't have your identity stolen anymore, we will know who you are, and you won't have to carry around all kinds of credit cards, you won't have to carry around ID in your wallet, it will be in you. Makes me wonder. Are they going to approve implanting the prisoners down in Guantanamo Bay with the VeriChip so they can keep track of them wherever these terrorists go and not let them know that it's in there? Because you see, you can't even tell that it's there. And they can give them a shot, like saying, "We're giving you an inoculation," and they can put it right in them. So, we need to keep our eyes peeled here. Continuing now with the article, supporters say that VeriChip is an advancement of technology that will be used to store medical information and be used to increase security. But many worried that such a device would take away from individual privacy, and they worried that the chip might be required or forced upon citizens. Well, just like the income tax, it was voluntary, wasn't it? But if you don't pay your taxes, guess what? It's enforced. Same thing. Satan always says you get a benefit. We'll see that in a little bit. Christians have been reported to criticize VeriChip due to its likeness in the Bible's reference to the mark of the beast in the book of Revelation, where it says, this is quoting from the NIV, and he also forces, the word there causes, has the implication of force with it. And he forced everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, or free and slave, to receive a mark in his right hand or in his forehead so that one could buy, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name, which is kind of an unusual translation there. Others are skeptical about the chip. A civilian family of three in Boca Raton, Florida, has already volunteered to be the first humans to be implanted with a microchip, though Dr. Richard Selig, medical advisor for ADS, had already given himself the implant in advance of FDA approval. Now, isn't it interesting? How many things have been enforced by a bureaucracy that have never been voted on in Congress, that never had the approval of the people, but because it is good for you, we're going to do this? That's what they've done with inoculations. That's what they've done with other things, isn't it? So the way that you take away the freedom in a republic or a democracy is that you have a bureaucracy that is able to make regulations with the force of law. Now, continuing with the article, the family of three, yes, they are only waiting for FDA approval, which they will probably get. Selig implanted a chip in his arm and his hip area a few months ago. Yes, it's in my right forearm, and there is no bump or anything you can really see. If there are no delays, the implantable chip will be on the market in less than a year. Stephanie Murray of Palm Beach Daily News, that's what she reports. The implant will cost around $200. Now, let me tell you a report that I saw on Palm Beach and also in England. In England, they have surveillance cameras everywhere. Now, it's been a good thing because it's cut down crime over 30%. But they have them where they can watch all streets, all corners, all shopping centers, all malls. And they have the ability to facially identify people, and they have made over 700 arrests of criminals that they have caught on camera. The city of Palm Beach, which has hardly any crime rate because it's one of the richest per capita cities in the entire United States, if not the world, they are installing these cameras the same way that they have been in Britain, in all shopping malls, in all public places, on all street corners, in all banks, in all places where public gathers. Now then, let's advance this one step. Let's make the camera have the ability to read the chip. Now then, you can know who it is instantly. You'll not be able to go any place without being surveyed. So you add to that the global positioning satellite, and they've got you. And this takes away all choice. See, that's why it is so damnable, because it takes away your choice. Now then, let's understand about the chip for the forehead. They have chips that they put in monkeys, where now monkeys are able, just by thinking, to play a game on a video and to make the game move. And it does it quicker than if they had a joystick in their hand or the things that they do with the two little buttons in their thumbs. Now, what a perfect thing this would be for someone in war. Because all I have to do is look at something and think, and the weapons have been fired. Now, also, they could have this. They could have it that those who receive it in the forehead, now that's a greater chip. That gives you greater access. That helps you mentally, that helps you get a better job, and so forth. So you can see how this thing can be, as it is implemented, be scaled out. And of course, have it on a voluntary basis. Now I'll read a little bit more about that in just a minute here, but let's continue. On January 24th, ADS announced that Verichip had signed a Latin American marketer for its first customer. Isn't it interesting that this in the hands of a dictator would be a thing that they really would want? And where are lots of dictators found? In Latin America. It's its first customer. The initial order exceeded 300, with anticipated first-year revenue reaching 2 million. Additional international orders valued at 1.5 million are under legal review and nearing completion, reports the Palm Beach Business Wire. The technology for Verichip was originally developed by Dresdron Fearing, a subsidiary of ADS, to track laboratory animals, livestock, and to help locate lost pet cats and dogs. Now, isn't that wonderful? You can find your dog. Well, now, what about all the kidnapped children? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing? Think how good this will be. All children born in hospitals must have the implanted chip put in them, so if they're kidnapped from the hospital, we can locate them real quickly, just like your car. You know, if you have a certain chip in your car, I forget what they call it, but if your car is stolen, then all you have to do is call the company and the police, and the chip is activated, and the information is sent to the police right where your car is, and they recover it within a couple of hours. Now, of course, we need this for human beings. Aren't human beings much more, valuable than a car? Now, let me read a little bit more about this family, Jacobs, who's going to take this. Now, this is another news release from Boca Raton. The family is going to, all three of the in the family are going to have it. Now, here's what Leslie Jacobs says, the wife. We are definitely, wholeheartedly, in belief that this technology will change the world. Yes, indeed. And it really is an honor to be a pioneer in a technology like this. Her husband, Jeffrey, and son, a 14-year-old son, Derek, said they share Leslie's pioneering attitude about Verichip. We're doing something that's good for mankind, Jeffrey said. I feel like I'm going with the flow of nature and doing exactly what we're here to do to improve the problems of the world. Now, let's go back to Genesis 3, and let's see something important. Every time that Satan causes people to sin, he doesn't say, well, let's go sin. He doesn't say, well, let's go against God. He says, look, think about this. There's a benefit for you. It's like this. Isn't this good? Isn't this wonderful? This is a benefit. Now, remember what Satan said. Satan came to Eve and said, well, God has said you shouldn't eat of any of the trees of the garden. In verse 2, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die, just like they're saying here, this is not the mark of the beast. You shall not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now just think, if you have this chip in your forehead, think what it's going to do to increase your mind and increase your thinking capacity and increase your intellect to where you can sit right down before a computer and you can think and it will be done. Isn't that a marvelous benefit? See, but they don't tell you that what they are going to develop with these is not just a chip of identification. It's going to be what is called a transponder. The little Vera chip that you have a picture of is a transmitter. A transponder transmits and receives. So they will be able to send signals. They will be able to control moods. They will be able to do things, see. So under the guise of doing good. And just like Eve, these people think it's good. They think it's wonderful. And the woman saw, verse 6, that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And we'll see in just a minute what they say about this. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, etc. So there's the rest of it. Whenever Satan comes along with a lying deception to get people to sin or go against God, there's always a benefit. It is always for good. And surely you can't be against keeping babies from being kidnapped in hospitals, can you? And surely you can't be against having a foolproof way so identity theft cannot occur. And surely you would want to help those who have Alzheimer's disease lest they get lost. Why, you see, if you oppose that, then you're a radical. If you oppose that, then you are against the society. Now, continuing on here, it says, Jeffrey Jacobs, for him, the Vera chip could be a lifesaver. He has been severely disabled with Hodgkin's disease and a serious car accident. He says that if he's ever unconscious, the device will provide instant electronic access to his complicated medical history and long list of medications, saving valuable time and maybe his life. Oh, what if he gets in an ambulance that doesn't have the receiver to get the information? What are you going to do now? Well, anyway, let's go on with this. As a scanner passes over the chip, as it was demonstrated, Applied Digital Chief Technology Officer Keith Bolton said, "Now it wakes up, it has power. It transmits the information. As soon as it transmits the information, it goes back to sleep. No radiation, no power source of its own. It merely sits there, waiting to be activated." Now, isn't that nice? See, we're not intruding upon your privacy. This is just another form of identification. However, newer versions of VeraChip will hold up to a megabyte of programmable information versus the six lines of 126 characters. And some may include a global positioning tracking feature. Now, what if by law that becomes mandatory? And therein lies the problem. Ethicist wonders, who will be able to have access to the data? Can people be monitored? From how far? What about the right to privacy? The first concern is that it will fall into the hands of an evil, oppressive state. Well, always has. See, Hitler was nice when he started, wasn't he? He wasn't oppressive. He got jobs, he got the German economy going, he put the German people to work, and all of that was good, wasn't it? If you're thoroughly known, then you can be thoroughly controlled because they will know more about you than you want to be known. The other issue, Could the chip ever become mandatory like inoculation? I don't envision a time like that, because we live in the United States of America, the land of freedom of speech and democracy. It's your choice. You elect to have a chip because it's going to provide a benefit to you. That's what Bolton says. Now, asking about it and thinking about it's safe and the wave of the future, one of her co-workers said. But Leslie says the dialogue, or that is the argument back and forth concerning these things of the chip, strengthens my position. I think I'm intelligent. I think my husband is intelligent. I know my son is intelligent. And we wouldn't do anything without our research. Did you read the Bible? Son Derek doesn't escape the controversy. One friend from his band class thinks it's really weird. Another calls it cool. Still another says, I would wait till more people have it before I actually get it. So what you're dealing with is this. You're dealing not only with what they're saying, but here you have the psychological programming of the reader's mind. Well, if many people have it, it's okay. You see, the majority can't be wrong. Derek isn't the least bit concerned about the VeriChip. After all, he's something of a computer genius, certified as a Microsoft systems engineer at age 12. In fact, it was his idea for the whole family to get chipped. It's brand new. It really hasn't been done in humans, Derek said. It may have been done in animals, but it's totally a different story when it's put in humans. It's used for different purposes. It's great technology. And if you're the first person, it's pioneering. Applied Digital wouldn't say when it will get Food and Drug Administration approval for the chips, but the Jacobs say that it's just a matter of weeks. When the company gets approval, the Jacobs will have the surgery. However, they probably will not be alone very long. Applied Digital Solutions says it already has received requests from 2,000 kids across the country wanting to get implanted themselves. Isn't that something? The Harry Potter generation wants to get chipped. So we need to understand, brethren, what these things mean, what these things are, and how this can be. Now let's go back. And we'll look at some of this here in Revelation 13. Let's just think for a minute. What if we have another terrorist attack? And what if it's against a big company, and the company says, all right. Now, we know this technology is out there, so we are going to require it of all of our employees. And if you don't have it, you can't work here. And then other corporations do the same thing. You can see what it's going to lead to. You can see the difficulties and problems. But you see, being on a voluntary basis, I'm sure what they're going to do, they're going to be having stories in the media about how good this is and how it works for this family and that family and all of those who volunteer to have the implant, that this is a good thing. Now, add in another terrorist attack, such as a nuclear plant, power plant blowing up, or a dirty nuclear bomb going off. Then they will increase the security even more, and security and control is the name of the game, and that's what they want. Let's turn this tape to the other side, please. Now let's think about some other things concerning this. This is just brand new. It's just coming out. Now the question is, how long will it take? How many years will it take? We don't know. But this has got to be the beginning of the end. Regardless of how many years it takes, it can take many years, it can take a few years, just depending on how things work out. And we don't know. So therefore, we've got to be prepared in it. Now, let's also understand that another thing is this. Those who believe the Bible and believe what it says and believe concerning the mark of the beast as it's described here and looks at things like the Verichip and the digital angel as those things that God says that will cause you loss of salvation. And those who won't receive it will be viewed as nuts. You'll be viewed as uncaring, unloving. Why, you won't get this and provide for your family? And look at your wife and children. They're all crying because you won't do this. But let's see what the end result is going to be. Let's pick it up here in Revelation 14 and verse 9. Now here's the ultimate fate of those who receive the mark of the beast. And people are going to say, why? This is very harsh. Yes, it is. Because you see, the ultimate thing with the mark of the beast is that you give up your choice. You give it over to the beast. You give it over to Satan, the devil. Verse 9. The third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and its image, and receives the mark in his forehead or on his hand, or in his hand, on his hand, either one, he shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed undiluted in the cup of his wrath, and he shall be tormented in fire and brimstone before the holy angels and before the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends into the ages of eternity, and those who worship the beast and its image and all who receive the mark of its name have no rest day and night. Here's the patience of the saints. Now, isn't it interesting? It compares those who receive the mark of the beast and what their fate is. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are the ones who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Now, notice verse 13. When you tie this in with, if you don't receive it, you're going to be killed. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from this time forward. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. And what are their works? That they die for Christ. And after all, and especially in this age, it is not pleasant. It is not acceptable to people to say that we may be martyred. But after all, when we were baptized into the death of Christ, we died with Christ. So whatever Christ requires of us, whether it be that we give our lives because we keep the commandments of God and we love God and have the faith of Christ, and if that's the case, then that's what it will have to be. Other Christians suffered through that. Others have been martyred for what they believe. And of course, if you're going to be faithful, then you are faithful unto death. So we don't know exactly how this is going to fall upon every one of us. That's why we've got to live by faith. Now, we don't know how they are going to kill us. We have one hint, though. We have one hint that looks like they're going to activate the guillotine, as we'll see in a little bit. Going to be beheaded, just like the French Revolution. And after all, think of all the good body parts that they can use. So there will be a benefit to it. And by the way, every body that has the parts, which they sell, though people donate, is worth $250,000 to the medical community. Okay, let's go on here. Okay. Now, what's going to happen to them? Well, let's come over here to chapter 15, verse 2, which ties in with Pentecost. And I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had gotten victory over the beast, and over his image, and over its mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. So you need to look at what the end result is going to be. Don't look at the immediate effect that you may have to give your life. Look at what the end result is going to be in the kingdom of God, or go in the lake of fire. Those are the choices that are set before us. Now, I know a lot of people don't want to hear that. And I know a lot of people are going to say, well, that's radical. But you need to understand, the Bible says, and Christ said, that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. These are the words of Christ. This is what he's telling us. And so they sing the song of the Lamb, saying, great and awesome are your works, Lord God Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you are holy. And all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been revealed. And then we have the pouring out of the seven last plagues. Now let's come over here to Revelation 20, and let's read where apparently it is going to be at this end time that those who are martyred for Christ will be beheaded. Now let's read it here in verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for the testimony of Jesus, for the word of God, and those who did not worship the beast or his image and did not receive the mark upon their foreheads or upon their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ during the 1,000 years. So that's what we have to look forward to. Now let's understand something. Now is the time, because this is the beginning of the end, as far as I'm able to understand. Now let's understand some very important things that we need to realize concerning our attitude toward it. Let's come to Matthew, the 26th chapter, please. Matthew, the 26th chapter. And let's understand a phenomena that takes place with human beings. When a crisis is at hand, they become inactive, such as the Jews were when the Holocaust came upon them in Europe, and they just went like cattle into the cars. Or they become like the disciples here, they go to sleep. So let's read this, because there's an important and profound lesson for us. Now, beginning in verse 36, Matthew 26. Then comes Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and he said to the disciples, sit here while I go over yonder and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, which is then his James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Now you wait here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And he comes to his disciples and finds them asleep. And isn't that the way that it is many times in the face of danger, in the face of imminent things that are going to take place? People go to sleep at the switch. And right at the crisis, which was beginning, right here with his prayers in the garden and leading to his arrest and judgment and crucifixion, the disciples fell asleep at the switch, not only once, but as we will see, three times. So he said unto Peter, what or why is it that you could not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. And we need to, with this mark of the beast coming, we need to watch and pray that we don't enter into the temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass from me, except I drink of it, your will be done. And he came and again and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to his disciples and said to them, Sleep on now, take your rest, for the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So you see, there's going to come a time, just like the parable of the 10 virgins. Five are wise, five are foolish. They all slumbered and slept, and the wise took oil in their vessels with them. The foolish didn't. And then came the midnight call. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil. And the wise said to the foolish, We can't. Go to them that sell and buy. And then the Lord came, and the five wise entered into with the bridegroom, and the five foolish, the door was shut on them. So you see, now we are facing exactly the same thing. We are living in a time when there is so much. We are living in a time when we have everything physically at our fingertips. We are also living at a time when we perhaps understand more about the Bible than any generation that has been in the history of the world. Now let's come to Luke, the 12th chapter. And let's see that there are some tremendous lessons for us to learn here. Luke 12. Now let's pick it up here beginning in verse 15. And you see, it's going to be awfully hard for people to give up the things that they can buy through credit cards, and it will then be with the mark of the beast and so forth. It's going to be hard to give that up. That's why Christ said here, verse 15, He said to them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And yet today people think what? The more you have, the better you are. And a lot of people equate that with spirituality, don't they? Now I want you to think back, those of you who do. Think back to when the Worldwide Church of God had the three campuses, had the beautiful settings, had all the income coming in, and everything was so great. And I want you to think back. When I resigned in 1979, I said, unless there was someone down there calling them to repentance, that God would send the forces into the church to destroy it. Now, I didn't say that because I looked upon myself as a prophet, and I didn't say that because I desired it to happen. But I could read the Bible and see that unless there was repentance, that is exactly what would happen. And today, it has happened. And it's going to happen even more ignominiously than we have ever thought. They are not going to be able to complete the sale of the campus in Pasadena. They cannot walk away from the deal because they will be sued and have to return all the money to Legacy Corporation. So they may just have to walk away from it and put a chain link fence around it, and that's what has been proposed, and that's what they're going to do. And I think this, because of the sins, they have been cursed. And in being cursed, God is not going to let anyone profit from the idol of that property, but He is going to destroy it. Now, He's not going to obliterate it by literally destroying it, but He will destroy it by not letting them get one penny out of it, or very little, if anything, from it. And so we need to take that as a lesson. Now, Let's continue on here in verse 16, and we'll see. Here's the lesson. And he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, is rich and increased with goods. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. He said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns, I'll build greater ones, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have much goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. We could say the same thing today. Boy, I've got all this stock in the stock market. I am worth so much. I am going to retire, and Enron is going to be such a great thing for me. And there were many who were in that position. Now, if we do this spiritually, think of the consequences, you see. Verse 29. God said to him, you fool, this night your soul shall be required of you. Then who shall these things be which you have provided? Every time I see a documentary on the pharaohs, look at all that they took into the pyramids with them, only to have thieves come and take it away. And they couldn't use it. It was of no benefit to them. And when they show the mummies, they're still dead. So it's the same situation here. Verse 21. So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. And that's the problem of the Laodicean, isn't it? I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, and I have need of nothing because I have all of these physical things around me. And all of these physical things represent blessings from God, don't they? Well, you know the rest of the story with the Laodiceans. Now, let's come down here to verse 31. And let's see what we, you know, in this case, what we have been forced to do. But rather seek you the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Now, we're talking not just the physical things here in this case. We're looking at the spiritual things. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So he says, sell that you have, give alms, provide yourselves bags that don't grow old, a treasure in heaven that fails not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupts. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about and your lights be shining. Be ready, be prepared, doing the things that God wants you to do. And you yourselves be like the men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, and when he comes and knocks, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. So not only do we need to be watching, we also need to be doing, as we will see here in a little bit. And now is the time to wake up. Now is the time to do, as God said to the Laodiceans, to repent and to be zealous and to be serious about our calling and to be serious about what God has called us to do, because you have in your hands the beginning of the end. And it's right there for you to see. It's right there for everyone to see. So what are we going to do? Now let's come down here to verse 41. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable unto us or even to all? And so Jesus didn't answer the question, but he went on to explain it a little bit further. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom the Lord shall make ruler over his household and give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that Lord, that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. That's the whole key. And today there are how many people who are laying down on the job, who are not studying, who are not praying, who are not taking advantage of the time that we have, who are not gaining the knowledge of the truth of the scriptures, who are not in having an in-depth relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ through prayer, through fasting, through study, and all of the spiritual tools that we need? No, they're just out there going along with the flow. And it's going to create great problems for them. So if he finds him so doing, Jesus said, verse 44, of a truth I tell you, he will make him ruler over all that he has. But and if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, which means that it's going to come at a time that nobody expects, you see, and shall begin to beat the men servants and maids and to eat and drink with the drunken. And if you eat and drink with the drunken, you're drinking out of the cup of the wine of the fornication of Mother Babylon the Great. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour which he is not aware, and shall cut him asunder, and will appoint his portion with the unbelievers. And the servant which knew his Lord's will, and we know the will of God, don't we? And prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. So the question is, do you want the correction from the Word of God to help you so you can make the choice to do what is right? Or are you going to wait for the correction which comes directly from Jesus Christ himself? See, we have those choices to make, don't we, brethren? Now, verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whom much is given, of him much will be required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And that's exactly where we are today. You know, and that's why it's also very important for you to understand the reason when you go and you look at the parable of the one who received the 5 talents, the 2 talents, and the 1 talent. The 5 increased to 5. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. The one who received 2 increased it to 4. And well done, good and faithful servant. The one who had 1 went and hid it. He didn't do the will of the Lord. He didn't go and trade like Christ said. And Christ came and he said, here's yours, Lord. And he said, I feared you, for you're a harsh man. For you reap where you haven't sown, and you straw where you haven't planted. And Christ said, you wicked and lazy servant. And he took the 1 talent and gave it to the one that had 10. And a lot of people will say, well, why does he give it to the one who has 10? Lord, he's got 10. Well, the reason is the one who has 10 knows what to do and did what should have been done. So now, likewise, in our lives, what are we doing, you see? What are we doing? Because here we are at the beginning of the end. And here we are when these things are going to take place. And just like the disciples, we're falling asleep at the switch. Now, let's come back here to Isaiah 56. Let's look at some other scriptures. Isaiah 56. And here's where we are in the world today. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. All you beasts of the fields come and devour, and all you beasts of the forest. His watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. And that's how God looks at the situation when we fall asleep at the switch. Now's the time to be alert, to be watching, knowing what's going on. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough. And they are shepherds that cannot understand. And they all look to their own way. Every man for his own gain from his quarter. Come you, they say, and I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as today, and much more abundant. That's what's going to happen with the mark of the beast. Now, if we're asleep at the switch, let's come back here to Proverbs, the sixth chapter. Let's understand. Let's apply this spiritually. Let's apply it to our lives. Because as we look at the things that we are building spiritually, and we've got to constantly build every day, and we've got to constantly grow every day, and we've got to constantly maintain a spiritual relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ every day. Now let's pick it up here in Proverbs 6 and verse 4. Give not sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Now apply this spiritually. Deliver yourself as the roe from the hand of the hunter. Escape the traps and the pitfalls that are coming, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler, so that those devices won't come in and grab you. Verse 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no ruler, overseer, or guide, that's interesting, isn't it? Provides her meat in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you sleep, O sluggard? When will you arise out of your sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And so shall your poverty come as one that travels, and your want as an armed man. Now when you travel, if you just leave your house unattended, when you come back, it talks in another place, like a cottage that is overgrown with cucumbers. See? In other words, everything unkept, everything falling apart, everything disintegrating. And that's where too many people are spiritually. They're all disintegrating. And they don't know where to go. They're hot, they're cold, they're lukewarm. They keep the Sabbath, they don't keep the Sabbath. They keep the holy days, they don't keep the holy days. They tithe, they don't tithe. They pray, they don't pray. They study, they don't study. And it's just kind of a continuous seesaw of mixed emotions because of a lack of total dedication to God. And because of a lack of complete commitment to the Word of God and living God's ways. And the strangest thing about it, what happens is this, they blame God. When God is not to blame. You see? And that's the way it is with the Laodicean, because he talks back to God. Well, you see, God is merciful and kind, and don't mistake the merciful and kindness, the merciful kindness that God gives to you as allowance or something that God is not going to call you into question for, because he will. You see, and remember this, judgment is on the house of God today, so we are being judged every single day. Let's come back to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And let's look at something here that's very important for us to understand. Okay. Ephesians 5. Let's begin in verse 6. Ephesians 5 and verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. God's wrath is going to come. Just because there is a space of time, just because God does not come down and instantly bring his wrath upon us, let's not mistake that as for God's approval. Let's not mistake that as that we have more time. Be not you therefore partakers with them. See, no. Yes, be not partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness. Now you're not. You know the truth. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Which he says here, back to verse 1 and 2, be you followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us. See, that's the way we are to walk. Now back to verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. When you expose them, it's not pleasant, but those things need to be done. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever does make manifest is light. Wherefore, he says, awake you that sleep, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Now, with the mark of the beast coming out, now is the time to do that. Now is the time, while you still are able, to sit down and make yourself some permanent spiritual goals and things that you are going to do. Now's the time to get on your knees before God in repentance and resolve and reestablishing your relationship with God. Now is the time while there is time. Now let's come to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, please. And let's pick it up here in verse... Just begin right here in verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 1. This is very important for us, brethren. You see, no one believed Jeremiah when he said, Nebuchadnezzar's coming and going to destroy this city. And then when it happened, they blamed him. They had 20 years to repent and change. And God gave them all the time to repent. Just read the book of Jeremiah and see. God is merciful and kind and long-suffering. And he will grant us a way of escape. He will grant us repentance. But when the time comes to do so, which is for us now, because the end has begun, then God will bless us. If we don't, we'll end up in the same situation that the Jews did because they didn't listen to Jeremiah. Now, verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 5. But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. And when they shall say, peace and safety, that's coming, then sudden destruction comes upon them as upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day, and you are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night, deceived by Satan the devil. Verse 8, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we need to be doing. We need to wake up from the dead. Now let's see what's going to happen to the world because they are asleep. Let's see what's going to happen to them because they are in the darkness. 2 Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. Now we already alluded to this. The man of sin, the son of perdition, is coming. Verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And when that happens, if you're not already right with Christ, it's too late. Do you understand that? Now, verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he is who is restraining, as it should read, will restrain him until he be revealed out of the midst. Then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now ask yourself a question. Do I love the truth of God? Really? Or do I just love those things that benefit me? Do I love God at all times, even in trials and temptations and difficulties and deprivations? You see. Do you love the truth? Do you obey the truth because you love it? If not, notice what's going to happen to the world because they don't, and also to the Laodiceans who are blind. Verse 11, for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. And isn't the mark of the beast a lie? All the benefits are only temporary. All of the benefits are those things which are physical. Because you see, Satan owns the world, and he gives it to whomsoever will worship him. So they're going to believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But you see, we're not to be that way, brethren, just as Paul said here. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has chosen, from the beginning, has chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you to his gospel according to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then he says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or by epistle. And so that's where we are today. Let's come back here to Revelation 3 and let's see something very important. Now let's look at the message to the Philadelphia church. And let's see the benefits, the spiritual benefits that God will give because we faithfully do the things that God wants us to do. We love him and we love the brethren. Now let's pick it up here in verse 8. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door so that no man can shut it. For you have a little strength and have kept my word. Is there a blessing in keeping the word of God? Absolutely. And have not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. And that'll happen. If you don't believe it will happen, go back and study the book of Esther and see what happened to Haman, the Agagite, versus Mordecai. Who won the final battle? Mordecai. So likewise, in being faithful to God, you will win the final battle. You may lose some things physically, but those are to be counted as nothing, brother, because those will in turn be spiritual riches stored up in heaven for you, for your reward when Christ returns. Now, verse 10, because you have kept the word of my patience, or patiently kept my word, and that means under all circumstances, and I'll tell you something. It is harder and more difficult to keep the word of God, to love God and obey God in a time when the world is as it is now, when everything physical is out there for your benefit and distraction. It's harder. It's a greater challenge to be zealous in this kind of situation. But notice, there is a benefit. Because you kept my word, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. And I mentioned right for that tape, the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So this means the whole earth. This has got to be the mark of the beast and the image of the beast. It can't be anything else. Because there will never be a trial which will come upon the whole earth of the magnitude of that which is going to turn people away from God and turn them toward Satan the devil. He says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which you have. Don't give it up, that no man take your crown. So then he gives us the words of encouragement. He that overcomes, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Keep that in mind. The ultimate reward, the ultimate thing that God is going to give you and bless you with, you see. And he shall go out no more, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven, and I will write upon him my new name. And this is what we need to focus on, brother. And this is what we need to ask God to help us have the kind of attitude. This is why we need to, as Paul said, wake up from the dead. The time is here. The mark of the beast is here. It's not coming. It is here. Now, verse 13. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so, brethren, let's realize and understand that with this Verichip, the mark of the beast, is here. The beginning of the end has started. The overseas offices are Canada, Post Office Box 125, Brockville, Ontario, Postal Code K6V5V2. For Australia, Biblical Truth Ministries, GPO Box 1574, Sydney 2001. New Zealand, Post Office Box 242, Waihi, Waihi 2981. Republic of South Africa, Post Office Box 2624, Wilroe, Wilro, Park, Postal Code 1731. United Kingdom, Post Office Box 8224, Whittam, Postal Code CM81. WZ, United Kingdom.